My name is Kayla Spelling. I'm a Kentucky girl with wild hair and green eyes who's not just a photographer and videographer, but a midnight designer too. I'm a visual storyteller with a creative spirit that knows no bounds. As a creative junkie and Aquarian sun, my love for all things creative runs deep. Being a visual storyteller for over a decade has allowed me to work with some seriously impressive clients across all spectrums, fueling my desire to learn and explore how people experience the world. What do they have in common? They all live and breathe their passions. So, inspired by their experiences, I launched a podcast to hear theirs and other stories on how they broke the 9-to-5 mold and pursued their true purpose in life. My goal is to empower listeners with knowledge and inspire them to live their most authentic and fulfilling life by following their passions. Join me on a journey where we'll explore spiritualism, consciousness, writing, culinary arts, tattooing, music, travel, media, and so much more. As an Aquarius, I know that I'm full of surprises, but one thing's for sure, we're in for a crazy journey into this world of creative junk. Hello there, fellow creative junkies. Get ready for a mind-blowing adventure with some seriously extraordinary individuals who are following their passions. In today's episode, I'm beyond excited to introduce to you my fabulous guests, Rob and Steve. These guys are the bee's knees. Yep, I said bee's knees, and I can't get enough of them. I first crossed paths with Rob and Steve in a yoga class they were teaching at one of my corporate jobs. Our connection was instant, like two peas in a pod. The more we talked, the more I realized that our paths were intertwined. As yogis, meditation gurus, and astrologers, they reached out to me to design a website for them. And so during that process, I had the pleasure of diving deeper into their spiritual world by joining in on a few of their classes. It has been a game changer, helping me better understand myself and learning how to harness my crazy creative mind. In this episode, we dive into their journey from the corporate world to a full spiritual path. We discuss the power of astrology and how to understand your natal chart and how that can unlock amazing insights about yourself. We also explore the magic of meditation and how it can calm even the busiest of minds. And brace yourselves because they spill some juicy details about their upcoming book slated for launch next year. So, who are Rob and Steve? They are the ultimate gurus of yoga, meditation, and astrology. Okay, they're totally gonna be like, Kayla, why are you calling us the ultimate gurus? But for, you know, to me, that's the case. Their services focus on nurturing your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. By finding balance in these areas, we can achieve harmony in our lives. Through yoga, meditation, and relaxation, healing is possible. And as we heal, we unlock unlimited personal growth. It's all about embracing life to the fullest and cultivating deep, meaningful connections. Their classes, private sessions, and retreats provide practical skills for moving your body, yoga, finding peace in your mind, meditation, and bringing relaxation into every aspect of your life, breathing, and just, you know, being one with yourself. Are you ready to dive into this mystical world of Rob and Steve? Let's get this spiritual party started. Welcome to Creative Junk.
Thank you. Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Who is your friend behind you? For listeners who aren't watching the YouTube video, they have this beautiful statue behind them. So who is this?
Well, it's an Egyptian head, but so probably 1988 at the holiday season. I was in search of something to give to Rob for Christmas. And I was in an antique shop. And I found this on the third floor in a dusty, dusty room behind a door. And I don't know why, but it spoke to me. It weighs 90 pounds.
So, oh my gosh.
I carried it down the steps. And luckily, we only lived probably about five blocks from the antique store.
Yeah, thank goodness.
I carried it home, and I built a box, basically, around it, and then wrapped that. And then on Christmas morning, he opened it up and was quite surprised.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I loved it. I don't know what it is, but it's a pharaoh head with the big asp coming off of there. And so he's been with us for quite a while now.
I don't think we've ever given him a name, though.
No.
Pete. Does he even need one? He's just Pete. Yes. He looks like a Pete now that I'm seeing it. Yeah. Definitely with that look.
Pharaoh Pete.
Pharaoh Pete. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. What dynasty was that? Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode. You have honestly been one of the first people that I wanted to talk to on this podcast, but I was trying to break it up a little bit to, add some different flair with different professions that people are doing right now. But yeah, I was like, I have to have Rob and Steve on here because gosh, we've just had a journey together the past few years. We're totally going to get into this more, but I just believe in synchronicity so much. And I was working the corporate world and they offered yoga classes for their workers, which is great. I think it's a really great thing that they do. And so I just stumbled in there, never really. Yeah, absolutely. And it was just something I never had done before, really. But I was like, I need to relieve some of this stress. Came in there and met you guys. And we just instantly connected. And it was during my awakening as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And over those sessions, we just got to be friends and it kind of went from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how this, for listeners, so they know, how this all really started besides doing yoga class was you guys ended up being one of my freelance clients because you guys needed a website for all of your spiritual services that you guys do. And you were just going to be even expanding on that a lot more even at that time. So I was so thrilled just to be able to be part of that journey with you guys. And then from talking to each other, me reading about your services, it was like, oh, they do meditation. Oh, they do astrology. What's that about? And of course, I had to take some courses and, here we are.
Here we are. And that synchronicity, isn't it a beautiful thing? Yeah. All we got to do is just listen and it brings us to the right place. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just it's just the right time, right? Because again, I was really in the middle of my spiritual awakening and I happened to come into you guys, which we're going to talk a little bit more about, but it seems like that kind of happens to you guys a lot with people. It's the midst of their spiritual awakening, they somehow seem to find their flow going to you guys, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We love it.
We never really have to worry about where our next assignment will take us.
Because it
comes to us.
Our next spiritual assignment, right? Yeah. When we're willing to take them, they just show up. That's for sure. But I think it's so cool to see you now taking on this podcast and what you're doing. I mean, that's such a great evolution for what you're doing and how you're helping people. So, congratulations. And we're so thrilled to be with you here. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for following your path.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and we were kind of talking a little bit beforehand before this episode, but I've just really felt that, especially with doing this podcast, it's been kind of confirmation to me that I really feel passionate about helping people find what truly sets their fire ablaze, that inner fire, that passion, finding those hobbies or changing your profession or whatever it is that just makes you passionate about life and excited. I'm really wanting to help people find that. So yeah, hopefully through these interviews, we can, talk to some different people doing different things and maybe it will spark something in someone else out there. So.
Oh, and it's great because we all have a story. And when we share our stories with each other, we find that we do resonate. And with the whole synchronicity of the universe, with us pulling energies that we need, they might listen to just that one podcast that helps them. It just answers those questions. When those things happen, when you've been thinking about it, and then you listen to something and there's the answer. That's not an accident. You've basically pulled it to yourself, and that's a beautiful thing. So I think that that's probably what's going to happen through your podcast, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note, let's talk about you guys, because you guys have such a fascinating story, especially with how you even got to where you are now. But especially spirituality has just woven itself through your guys' entire life. And so just if you can, introduce your guys' selves and let's talk about your backgrounds and kind of how you got to where you are now.
Well, so collectively, we're Rob and Steve.
Yes.
I'm the Steve part.
And I'm the Rob part.
And, I must say that I came into this relationship 30 some years ago with really no sense of spirit. I grew up in a household that had, we celebrated holidays, but it was more about presents and Easter eggs and getting together than any kind of spiritual dogma associated with it. So when I met Rob, he already had deep roots in not only Catholicism, but interestingly, in astrology. And so he read a couple books, and at one point I told him that I thought he was crazy with some of the ideas he was presenting to me. And his comment was, you know, why don't you read the book before you pass judgment? And so I did, and the ball started rolling. And so the spiritual path that we're on has just kind of morphed over time, moving completely away from any kind of organized agenda and moving into a free flow, whatever feels good, take a little from here, a little from there, and make it blend so that it fits how it fits in the heart.
Yeah. Very true. It's that's a kind of a good synopsis about it. You know, I was a seeker from early because I grew up very Catholic, and it just didn't answer a lot of my questions. And I was always getting in trouble because I always asked too many questions. And my mom was really cool. She was very liberal in her Catholicism and actually let me explore with my friends. So I went to like Pentecostal things. I went to Episcopal things, Jewish things, and just exploring. And I was so fascinated by really how different the whole thing was. But it really wasn't until really into my 20s when I started exploring, because none of it was really working for me. And I got turned on to an astrologer who I kind of went to in desperation. I was in graduate school. I was looking for some answers to questions. So I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, what can it hurt? I got my chart done, and the guy had never met me before, and blah, all this stuff came out. I felt like he was speaking directly to me. It freaked me out so much that right away I was like, you've got a lot of answers for me. How do I figure this out? So that's when I started studying it, because I saw the validity for myself. So that's where the astrological piece comes in. And what a lot of people don't realize is, astrology is more than just knowing your signs. It really can be a form of spirituality for you, because you're believing in yourself. You're believing in what the chart tells you as your spiritual guide. Like your chart can, depending on how you do astrology, it can be your spiritual guide. One of the things that he told me was because of my mixture of energies that I should get into yoga. And back in the 80s, yoga looked like a cult here in the West still, but we pursued it and we found some little niches, going to people's houses and all that. And
then, under the cloak of dark,
right? Basically, yes. With our yoga mat. And then by the time we got together, we were pursuing the yoga part, which has the meditation part in it. So that all really started us on a roll. I mean, that's where the spirituality came in. And that has been what we've developed in our relationship too, between us and individually, And that has become very important, which has then led us, I think, to be able to follow our passion back to, you know, what the podcast is about, following your passion. Having a sense of spirituality, which helped us to believe in ourselves, I think has helped us to take more chances. Is that good for an introduction?
Yeah, no, I love that. The theme that keeps circulating with everybody that I'm interviewing right now is authenticity. So basically what you're saying mm-hmm. is just being one with yourself, being present with yourself, being authentic to who you are and, you know, who you truly are and exploring that part of yourself, right? And it's through these people that I've been talking to with their different things that they're passionate about, that's what they're doing is they're finding that authentic part of themselves that they didn't realize that they had that was maybe lying dormant. And then now suddenly is alive. And, you know, I was talking to someone who was a writer and was just like writing for like a magazine and newspaper and stuff like that. And then she just felt like painting one day and wasn't good at it. And now suddenly she's like one of my favorite artists. I buy her art all the time. And her art, she uses divination in her art, creating for people. She does like color reads. And it's like, it's just amazing to see that. And that's what she really circled back to was being authentic to herself. And again, kind of talking about that, you don't have to be perfect, like, especially when you first start out. Like, she's like, my art wasn't good. It was crap in the beginning, you know, but like, it was still, I was expressing, right? I was expressing something. And then that just evolved into more things, which is really beautiful. But sorry to go on that tangent, but just what you were talking about, again, just learning about yourself, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, to add to that though, you know, especially for people listening when they hear, well, how can I be authentic to myself? It's not really the easiest path to take because especially in our culture where there are so many expectations, there's so many distractions. I mean, we're told how and what to think through the media. I mean, through all forms of it, even through social media, there's perfection this way. This person's this, this person's this. So to be authentic to yourself, sometimes you got to back off from that or at least keep that objectivity for yourself, that it's okay to be different, that it's okay to express yourself, however that is. And, you know, judgment and comparison is like part of our species. We do it and we've got to learn to calm it down. I mean, I'm talking from experience here. I compare myself a lot because I have a lot of Saturn energy in my chart. I won't get too specific about that. But I mean, I think most of us, what we can identify with is really sometimes finding the authentic self is a really big deal. It's a journey.
It's a process of getting rid of shoulds in your life and other people's expectations. And when I think, especially as we mature, we start to learn that, you know, what other people think or do is important to them, but not important to you, or, you know, you being the authentic self.
Yeah.
So if you can't change a should to a I want to, then don't do it.
Just, you know, kind of bordering that line of like almost that social programming, right, that we all are kind of ingrained in, like starting from birth, basically. You know, I do bring up the whole concept of 9 to 5 a lot, and it's not to degrade anybody who still chooses to work a 9 to 5, because I think it's awesome that you're working and you're contributing to our collective and to our society and doing your own amazing things that you do. You know, my thing is I just want to educate people and saying that isn't your only option in life. There are other things that you can do in your life. And of course there is necessity, survival. So again, I understand that.
Yeah.
But you guys have done in your background, you guys have kind of done a spectrum of different kinds of jobs and different experiences. So would you mind kind of shedding light on that and how you've really kind of let your spirituality kind of guide you on that path, on that process?
Absolutely. You know, we started off on what I would say like the normal paths. You know, we both went to college. He was in business. I was in history. I thought I was going to be an attorney, paralegal, that kind of thing. Then I changed my mind and I was on this straight path to being a professor, a history professor. And, it got to the point where both of us were feeling very just not satisfied with where that was leading at the time. So we basically started really diving into the astrology, to the meditation, to basically studying world religions and doing all of that. And, you know, just the shorter version of our life is then we opened a metaphysical spiritual store in the 1990s. Again, people looking at us like we were crazy.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. We learned a lot about earth-based religions or spiritualities. We met lots of really cool people, local artists, and we loved it and it fed our soul, but it wasn't sustaining us on the material level. After 7 years of running the store, we were having a hard time paying rent, you know, and wanting to branch out and do some different things. You know, there was no way we were going to ever be able to buy a house if we wanted to do that. So an opportunity came up. Even though we loved the store, the name of it was Left-Handed Moon. So it's got its own little mystical name there. I think it's very cool. And that name came to Steve in a dream. So just to give you an idea, how we were really following that, you know, Left-Handed Moon, we were like, but the dream was specific. It didn't say name the store. It said his dream was
somebody needs to name their business Left-Handed Moon. So, and the store was a great experience for us before we move on to the next phase, is because it fed us creatively too. Not only in merchandising, but also in how we dealt with people.
Yeah.
And how we dealt with our customers. And then that exchange then fed us even more and more and more. And so we were being fed on a spiritual level and a creative level, but the monetary end of it was crumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were having a hard time with that part. And then an opportunity came up with a friend of ours who ran a manufacturing company that had an art element to it. But we went to work with him and ended up running the business for 12 years. But the difference was that we took our spiritual beliefs with us. So we dealt with our clients from that point of as much as we could, like compassion and, you know, even within the studio that we were running, you know, we were giving little astrological tidbits and we would know certain days, okay, Mercury retrograde is happening. I mean, we ran the business even with some of that knowledge, which again, at that time, especially was a little bit, you know,
unique.
Yeah. Unique is a good word for it. But we did have the experience of, you know, running a business, managing people, until we got to a point where we realized that it had run its course, that we got to a point where it was like, are we going to do this for the rest of our career life? And this is what we're going to be. Are we going to go back to really feeding our creativity and our spirituality? So that's what we decided to do. And it was a big step. Because we left the...
I was 52.
Yeah. And left some security, making a decent salary, all that kind of stuff. It was like...
And then all the shoulds popped back up. You know, how are... You know, oh, you're too old. You shouldn't do this. What are you going to do now?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, we'll do whatever we want.
And importantly, that was coming from some of our friends. Okay. I mean... Our friends, they were projecting. They were like, oh, I couldn't do that. And at that age, don't you think you should just stick this out? No. And one of the things that happened was our desks were right across from each other. And one day Steve said to me, I don't know, he goes, this is killing my soul. That's a big indicator. When you feel whatever word you put on your soul, your spirit, your whatever, when it's dying, it's worth a shot to make a change, mm-hmm. right? It's worth it because that's really what our life is supposed to be about. Like when we talk about yoga and the yoga philosophy, you know, part of it is that we're supposed to have passion and energy behind what we're doing, like loving it. You know, going back real quick to, you know, you saying you aren't bashing 9-to-5ers. On the retreats that we do, we attract a lot of really high-end executives. And they'll say, I love what I do. I come here to hang out and to do these things with you guys. So I find balance.
Oh,
so they might like running their corporate job. They like all of that, but they're looking for that balance. And that's always what's important.
Yeah. Yes.
For what we do, you know? Because there are some people in those high up positions who are being fed creatively.
Absolutely.
You know, they love it. They're organizers. They're, you know, people who can make things happen and have vision and all that. So it just depends on where it comes from for you. Because I tell my clients the same thing. It's like, just because you're happy in a corporate job, you don't have to feel guilty about it. If you're really happy and it's feeding you more than monetarily, and you're really feeding all the aspects of yourself, go for it.
So we left that job and went to massage school in New Mexico, in Albuquerque. And I tell you what, it was one of the best years of our existence. We rented this little adobe house and lived in the desert and studied flowers and massage, of course. That really opened up a lot of different things for us too. And then we lived there for a year, came back to Cincinnati and set up a practice. Yeah, now that's even taken a course.
Yeah. Our practice at that time was the holistic thing we'd always hoped to do. So we were doing, we were licensed natural therapeutic specialist, which included massage. But we went to a school that had all these different modalities that fed us. We were teaching yoga. We were teaching yoga teachers, teaching meditation, doing some counseling through astrology. So that became our package for a while. And like mm-hmm. Steve just alluded to, but during COVID, that shifted. And when we, after 7 years of doing massage, and we had to stop because of COVID, we realized that a lot of our own body issues were not necessarily our aging process or maturing, but it was the physicality of giving the massages. So then we were faced with, that's a very lucrative part of our life. Now what are we going to do? So just recently, we've gone through a whole metamorphosis. And just as a nuance, what happened while I was teaching the yoga teacher trainings, I basically, what I would say is, had this flash while driving in the car of a whole outline of a novel. Okay, never wrote a novel before, but it flashed through my head and was so exciting that I started writing it. And now we're on the verge of publishing a novel. So that was, again, taking another pathway. Yes.
Yay.
And that kind of gets you to where we are currently, waiting for the book to birth itself, right? Yeah. So there's been lots of winding to get where we are in our life, but it's been very interesting. And sometimes it's gotten to the point where, especially boredom is a big thing for us. Like if we're starting to be bored, not just for a little time period, but where you realize you just don't have any energy. You just aren't really into what you're doing. You're not excited about getting up, you know, in the morning or about what you're doing. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have anxiety or that you might be nervous, but it's like there's a difference. There's an underlying passion under what you do that just keeps you moving, keeps you doing what you want to do. So that's kind of our ebb and flow through our life where we've gone.
Yeah. So the spirit hasn't left.
Oh,
it's just morphed, you know, because along with the energy that we have put into this book that Rob is writing, and we still do our healthy living, as we call them, retreats, and we teach meditation and we teach yoga. And Rob is a really good astrologer.
Thank you. Yeah.
He knows his shit.
So is that covers the story, right? You know, from the way it's kind of moved on. And our real corporate thing was actually sandwiched in with a bleed through of spirituality. Because I like to tell people, corporations can be run with the heart. All right. And we're seeing more of that in our day and age too, where things like where we met, where they were adding things for like yoga and meditation.
For self-care. Yeah.
Yeah. For self-care even. But you know, there's a lot of companies that are starting to open up to that, and you can make decisions to work for those kinds of companies, you know, rather than someone who you think is just taking from the universe and not giving anything back. So yeah, we're in an exciting time period. I know it seems really chaotic and crazy sometimes. But on the other end of it, if we just turn off the regular news and we kind of look around us, we can see that, you know, there are a lot of really compassionate things happening. We need more. We need a ton more. But they're out there.
Hey there. I know this conversation is super interesting, but let's take a quick break. Here's a special message from our awesome sponsor. Experience pure magic and rejuvenation with Wicked Obscura, a women-owned apothecary and candle shop in Covington, Kentucky. As one of the owners of this company, I can assure you that we believe in the power of nature and spiritual well-being, which we infuse in every handmade item that we offer. Our candle selection, made of coconut soy and infused with herbs and crystals, give off an unforgettable scent while promoting a peaceful atmosphere. With wood wicks and 100% safe ingredients, our candles provide a touch of magic in every home. Don't miss out on this special offer. Use code CREATIVELYWICKED at checkout to snag 15% off your next purchase and experience the true essence and light of Wicked Obscura. Start shopping now at wickedobscura.com. Use code CREATIVELYWICKED at checkout to snag that 15% off. Well, I think this is a really great segue into let's talk about your astrology background, because you guys have a very interesting story of how you began your journey of learning how to read natal charts and just really understanding the science and spirituality of astrology.
Yeah. So earlier in this conversation, I said something about a book that Rob had read, and I thought he was going crazy. So that book was called Linda Goodman's Star Signs. Now, Linda Goodman back in the 70s and 80s was the basically top pop astrologer. And her books, her first one was Sun Signs, and then it was Love Signs, and then this book called Star Signs. So Star Signs dealt with all kinds of things. It dealt with numerology, and the thing that actually Rob presented to me that I thought he was going crazy was it presented an idea about physical immortality. That's another part of this. And then so after I read the book, I like, okay, so what are we going to do with this? And Rob said, well, I think I need to meet this woman. And I was like, how are we going to do that? He says, well, I know from her book that she lives in Cripple Creek, Colorado. And I said, okay. So we planned a trip. So we took a vacation out to Cripple Creek, Colorado, which is 9,500 feet up in the mountains near on the western slope of Pikes Peak. And we spent, I don't know, maybe 5 days in this little town.
Yeah.
Wandering around, talking to people. Linda herself was not to be found. And at one point in the book, she talks about living on a street called Carr, C-A-R-R. And so we were kind of hanging out outside the house on Carr Street and came to realize that she didn't live there anymore. She lived up on the hill in this other house. So we never met her while we were out on that trip. Came home, Rob writes a letter. And he said, I would love to be your assistant. And I'm putting words in my mouth. He said, we're thinking about moving out there. And I could, you know, I would love to work with you. So I don't know how this really all transpired, but we did it. We quit all the jobs. We were waiting tables at the time, packed up our house, sold a bunch of stuff, got a U-Haul on the back of this 1970 whatever Jeep Wagoneer, and took ourselves and two cats out to Colorado. And we rented a house that ended up, we didn't know where it was. And the town's 450 people, right? So we rented a house that was right next door to Linda's house. So for the first 2 months, maybe 3 months, we were there. She wouldn't see us. She wouldn't see us. Wouldn't grant us an audience. Well, all that time, Rob is sitting on our back patio, directing his meditations right at Linda's house. And his mantra was, "You will meet us. You will love us. You can't live without us." And I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for.
And we're going to actually write a memoir about that part of our life because it is so wildly fascinating.
Yeah. So we first started helping her with her garden. And then as we got to know her, she thought, well, why don't you help me with like her fan mail? And then we became her personal assistants. She didn't drive, so we'd drive her all over the place.
Went to book signings and all that.
And then while we were there, she received the contract to publish the next book called Goobers. And so we became her copy edit on that book and saw it through to the end. And while back then there was no internet or email kind of stuff like it was now, is now. So things were sent back and forth via snail mail and hard copies. So we would be reading hard copies and doing edits. Well, while the publisher had the edits, we had all this free time, and she would sit with us and teach us astrology. Yeah. And my friend here soaked it up like a sponge.
Yeah.
And what's the adage?
Yeah.
New knowledge easily gained is old knowledge.
Yeah. So, you know, we could go into that whole thing where she's like, "You've been my student before," and past life stuff. I mean, she rocked our world in so many ways because she was so eccentric, but it was such a great experience. And the thing really was, is I have to tell you, I felt driven to meet her. There was this huge lesson in that. And then it became basically the three of us, this tight group, and then all of the lessons that we learned around that. But that, going kind of back to what we've been talking about, is that experience, even though it didn't end up being what I thought it was going to be necessarily, it was like this wild opening into what we are today, the way that we think. And it all took place, for those of you who know what it is, during my Saturn return. So that's the wild stuff that can happen when Saturn is knocking on your door.
Yeah, and that was all before we opened the store.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of how we got into astrology. And then, you know, I had dabbled in it, then she really taught us so much, and then we just kind of stayed with it. I mean, even when we were doing our corporate jobs, we were going on yoga retreats during our vacations, and I was taking classes whenever I could on astrology. And then other teachers showed up, yeah, for us. So that's kind of how it all kind of took place. But I want to add one thing about astrology. It answered questions for me on my spiritual path and my psychological needs. It worked for me. It answered questions. I happened with the right people and that's why I was attached or attracted to it so much, is because it worked. It really helped me. It's what I think a lot of younger people are experiencing now with it, when they look at it. And because of the way the internet is, they can kind of cast their own charts and they can get that initial flavor I got with the astrologer by going, "Oh my God, just this little bit that I know." And then the more you know. And that's what it's set up for. Astrology has been around for thousands of years. It was a sister to astronomy. It was meant to be a self-help tool. We used to learn it so we knew more about ourselves and the journey we're on. It's, you know, that's really the way we look at it. It helps us to build but grow our consciousness so that we can see maybe the easiest path for that too, or know our challenges so that we can face them a little bit better. So I'm hoping that answers your question about our foray into astrology.
Well, one of the things when you were talking, I wrote down in a note like the whole like copy edit synchronicity, because I mean you're talking about now where you guys are at and you're writing this book and just the foundation of astrology in that book, which we'll talk about later, but in all of that, like that synchronicity of like you starting literally there with like the person that you really looked up to gain this knowledge, and you guys were gaining experience with understanding publishers and, you know, what the editing process was like and stuff. It's just really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of come around that big circle. You're right.
But the whole process is so different now because of technology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I said, we were working off of hard copy galleys and
typing on a typewriter, if you can imagine that.
It only could store 20 pages of information at a time.
Yeah, but that was really high tech then.
Barbaric.
Barbaric. Well, and the reason I'm really focusing on astrology in this episode with you guys, because I feel like it's all going to tie together, right? Astrology, meditation, yoga, it all ties together because, again, it's all about self, right? Learning about yourself, experiencing yourself, listening to yourself, all of these things. But I feel like a lot of it really starts with astrology because it's learning about that blueprint that you're given, that divine blueprint that you are born with. Here you are. Here's your roadmap. Good luck. Kind of a thing, yeah. You know, and then you add the other tools to your toolbox. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And the biggest problem that we face as humans is, you know, before we incarnate into this situation, we make those choices on what we are going to learn. So we make those choices on what that chart's going to look like. Well, then, as Rob calls it, the big squeeze, you go from mask consciousness into these little bodies, which is a feat in itself. And then we forget because we have to learn to talk and walk and do all these other things. And then we start to remember.
Yeah.
Or at least you hope to remember.
Yeah.
And, or you work to remember.
And that's an important point, is that, you know, we choose our charts. That's how we've been taught from our mentors, from Linda on, is that we choose our astrological chart knowing. So she was the first one that I ever heard call it our astrological or our karmic playpen. She's like, there's certain lessons that we need to learn before we can move on to different levels of consciousness or whatever. So the chart itself helps us to be able to see that. And then the more we realize that and we move, we can actually move above our chart. That's an important thing to know too. It's like, we don't have to be pushed around by it. You know, she used to use the analogy of, you could never read the chart of a saint, she would say. So let's change that to yogic sage. And she would say, and that would be because they rise above all of those limitations that they've set up. They've understood it and they're moving forward. You know, that's a nice thing to think of it. Most of us, it's going to take us a whole lifetime to understand our chart and to actually be able to work with it. So, you know, it's like you said, it's a great tool for it, and it is a great basis, and all of it works together. You know, one of my latest major astrological mentors was Alan Oaken, who just passed last year, almost 2 years ago, a great esoteric spiritual astrologer. And he said, the journey that we're all on as humans is the journey of consciousness. You know, we get stuck in thinking that we have to find the right job and we have to do this. But as we mature, we realize that all of that stuff becomes peripheral, and it was not quite as important as we thought it was. But what was important? The way we treat people, the way we find compassion within ourselves, the way that we start to evolve, you know, and moving up in the way that we think and feel and deal with the world. And that's the importance. And that's what the astrological chart shows. That's what getting on your mat and yoga helps you with, to be able to clear your mind so that you can open up to what consciousness is. You know, until recently, as a species, we didn't have the luxury to think about our consciousness. We had to find food. We had to make sure we were safe, all of that.
Go to fire.
Yeah, just staying warm, all of that kind of thing. And then until we can really relax that those things are covered, then we can start to evolve higher on the consciousness level, which is a whole different thing of possibilities. Mental telepathy, you know, energy work, all of that comes around through that as well. So they are closely related, yoga and meditation and astrology. I say that they're sister arts and sciences that help us to work really well with not only our own inner nature, but the celestial guides that are constantly waiting for us to listen with our heart.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So I remember I was interested in astrology when we were doing yoga, and you would bring up different things going on, right? It would be like, oh, it's Mercury retrograde, or oh, this planet's in here, so we're going to do a yoga based on this, just so that way we can work through these energies. So I was always very interested. And so I decided to come to you guys to have my chart read, my natal chart read. So this is something that you guys do for a lot of people. And it was so eye-opening. I mean, that's for everybody, right? It's like, as soon as you get your natal chart read and deciphered, you're like, oh my gosh, you just like unlocked something. And this is so cool. Because I saw myself, right? Like I saw myself in this chart, but then I learned about strengths and also weaknesses that I'm prone to. But it was such a beautiful thing to know, oh, there's a side of me that I haven't even tapped into yet, that I didn't even know that I had. Or, wow, this explains a lot about why I may handle relationships this way. Or the job for me has to be, I think it's like I have like a bucket, and it like points, like it's like Jupiter is pulling it, and it's all in that 11th house. And it's showing that like everything that I do is so focused on helping the collective. Like that is what's important to me. Right. So seeing that, you know, just was like, wow, yes. It just made so much sense. And one of the things learning from you guys, like the more I was doing yoga, was the leaning on different sides of yourself. So for example, I'm an Aquarius sun, and I have a Leo rising and a Scorpio moon. So what I have learned about myself is when I need to be doing this podcast or presenting any kind of a performance, I meditate on that Leo side of myself and really ask for that self to really just shine and help me, you know, feed me, give me that fire that I need to portray. If I'm working through something, I need to face an emotion, because Aquariuses do not like dealing with emotion very well, that I lean into my Scorpio
side. It's a little semi-sensitive.
Yes, but that's why, yeah, I'm so blessed to have that Scorpio in my chart that I can then say, listen, you're going to help me face this, whether I want to or not. You're going to nag me about it, and we're going to deal with it. And that's in my chart. You know, I learned about that about myself. Yeah. And so I'm using that now. And that's why I think it's so important for people to get their charts read so they can really see what it is they're made of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and there's great apps out there that, you know, give you the tidbits, but really finding somebody you connect with that can help you know on a really deep level what the combination of all that is. I mean, there would be a lot of astrologers who would say to you, oh, Aquarius, Leo, and
all that Capricorn.
And the Scorpio together. Man, and what happens is a lot of times astrologers go to like a default mode of, oh, that's heavy, or oh, there's the challenge. But you know what? People are working on their consciousness so much that what are the beauty in something like that? Like, I have a really intense chart. I'm not going to go into that, but when people say, well, you know, I had one astrologer, he's like, so how do you, you know, you've got this intense chart. How do you work with it? I'm like, it's all I know. It's all I know. You know? So is it, if I don't know, but you know, I knew where he was coming from, but I'm like, that intensity has also helped me to do this, 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 and this. But I will say that that comes easier when we learn to get quiet. That's where the meditative part really comes in. Because the mental mind is so strong, again, and this is what the whole yoga and meditation is, we have to learn to calm it down. And all of our smartphones and computers and all that information that comes in feeds this up here. You know, they call it the monkey brain, or the fluctuations of the mind, it's called in the sutras. We have to learn to calm the waves down to hear the heart. Because that's where, like what you're talking about, finding your passion and where your creativity comes from. That's really the voice we need to be able to hear. And we can't if we have so much going on. You know, yeah, if we have so much going on up here, we can't hear this. And this will ruffle some feathers. It always does on our retreats or whatever. But if you can't sit in silence, there's a problem. What is it? That's the first thing you can look at. And you can see, you can look at somebody's chart and say, ooh, you're going to have a hard time with meditation or the silence part of it. But once you know that, you're like, okay, you know, why do you need noise all the time? Why do you need this? Why do you need to be taking in constantly? Because it's an addiction that keeps us from really feeling and thinking through the heart about what we really want. Now I'm going to get off my soapbox, but yeah, but the thing is that that meditative part is really necessary, you know, and it, when you study yoga or a lot of Eastern spiritualities, it's being able to be with ourselves. Yeah. Okay. I hope I didn't get too soapbox there.
But, No. You were great. And I think kind of going on meditation, we're kind of hopping around a little bit, but I do think this is important to note because I really learned this from doing your guys' meditation retreat and classes where, you know, really not being hard on yourself, especially, I think meditation is intimidating for a lot of people, especially because we're so used to the noise and the busyness. So it almost seems impossible. And it's like, listen, it can literally just be you sitting there for a minute and listening to yourself breathe. It could be you sitting there listening to the birds outside and just registering, I am listening to birds chirp right now. Like, it's just being with yourself, just for 30 seconds even, you know, and then it just expands, you know, and you allow yourself more time and stuff. It evolves and grows, and it's something that you do have to teach yourself, but it's not something that you can do it. You can make a minute of your day literally just sitting there and listening to yourself breathe.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's where on our Facebook page, we do that 2 minute Tuesday. Okay. Now we say 2 minute Tuesday because it's a 2 minutes of a practice. It might be 3 minutes or whatever as we do a little explanation. But it was basically to say to people, just get started with this, because so many of us have fear of silence, of just being with ourselves. And those people who have never had that fear cannot understand that, but it's there, because the mind can be very mean to us. You know, I will put it out there. It's like, if you let it just keep going and going and going, it would kill the host just to stay in control. Okay. Now that's severe, and that's not happening for most of us, but some of us do know people who've had those kinds of issues where their mind has driven them crazy. So being able to figure out the tools that can help us to calm it down. And I want to say this is that this is coming from me from a very personal place, because it was meditation and it basically saved my life. It has enabled me to listen to myself, to be able to develop skills to actually calm myself down. And I believe in it. And now, after doing it for so many years and studying with people and then helping other people with it, I see it happening all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a doorway. It's a doorway to self-discovery that you can do in cahoots with lots of things. And if you're, even if you're a like a really strong Christian, you know, what I hear about yoga sometimes, they're like, well, I can't do that and be a Christian. Yes, you can. You know, you don't have to be a Hindu to do yoga or meditation. You know, you just have to be willing to listen to yourself and open your heart up to you. And think of yourself as the divine force itself, whatever you want to call it. Christ consciousness, the universe, however you word it, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. So I just, some of my clients are like, here we go on the meditation thing again. But I'm just telling you, it's the big part of it. And just start by asking yourself, if you're sitting here listening to this and you're like, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. As I said to my friend one time, that means the mind won. If you say you can't do it or you're fearful, the mind won. Figure out how to dip your toe in it. Figure out how to sit with a little bit of quiet. How can you love yourself so deeply that it's an intimacy to sit in silence with yourself rather than being afraid of it?
And how can you bring that back into astrology?
Well, astrology can tell you, like Caleb was talking about, knowing your natal chart. I mean, I'll just use this as an example. So if people have a lot of stuff in their chart that they know is like they're more air than any kind of grounding or any kind of water, which would be emotion. Air signs, I'm generalizing. Just because you're an air sign doesn't mean you can't meditate. Some of the heavy hitters in meditation are air signs, okay? But I'm generalizing here, especially if you're sitting there going, oh, you know, I'm afraid of it. Sometimes, because air is mental, it is not only attached, but one of the ways that it expresses itself is through communication, through the mind. But the difference is being able to be quiet and allowing your intuition of the higher mind to come through is a totally different way of tapping into it. So that's how I would say, that's one way you could use astrology for that, to see why you're blocked with certain things.
And then use the meditation process to maybe untie those blocks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By actually just turning your focus onto the interpretation or the divination of the astrological chart and what that actually means to you.
Yeah, or something like, you know, you were talking about your astrological makeup with the sun, ascendant, and the moon. Then, I mean, this might sound out there for some people, but you could actually meditate on that. You know, in the upcoming novel that hopefully will be released in 2024, let's all set that intention, is that the main character's astrological chart comes to life to guide him. Now, metaphorically, that's what astrology does. When we learn how to read it or we go to an astrologer, those pieces of us, those 10 pieces, come to life for us and they can speak to us. You know? So, yeah. Hopefully I haven't taken us off on a tangent. I have a tendency.
No, it's all flowed exactly. It's been great. And okay. So what else are we allowed to talk about with your book? I don't want to push too much because I do want listeners to know that when their book does come out, it will be 2024. We're putting it out there, that we will do a special episode. We'll do a special episode on their book. But what can we already started a little bit. What is there anything else that you can kind of set up a little bit to kind of tease about with this book?
I have to let that him say this because he's
not even like that.
I always say too much.
He does. He always says too much. It is a combination of astrology and yoga. Meditation plays a huge role in it, but it is a novel and it's a love story woven in with a lot of spirituality between the main couple. Their spirit is so strong, and it takes them on these adventures to face a lot of fears in life. So it's a magical journey, guided through the Yoga Sutras, but also through astrology. So it's a crazy adventure, and I think it's really going to speak to people who have a little bit of a background in those things or have interest in it. Because I think what it can also do is the story could get people really interested in learning more about it.
Yeah, and you don't have to have any experience to enjoy the story.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's a personal discovery book. I mean, it really goes along with what we're talking about. It's like being really true to yourself and figuring out your path. And no matter what, because the main characters get a lot of crap thrown at them and a lot of negativity, and they have to come from their heart to stay true to who they are. So it's that kind of a story. So I hope that's enough of a teaser. Okay, let me give you this tagline that I no. Oh,
no, this, go ahead.
Okay, like I said, it's not for everyone. So I say, kiddingly, is that it's a gay, feminist, yogic, astrological love story.
I'm here. I love it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be any of those to enjoy it. But that's kind of the Aquarian. I'm there, right? But yeah, it's definitely it's an eclectic mix of different things. And I probably should list the feminism first, actually. So it's a big, strong current of the feminine energy, which comes through love and compassion, which the world needs. I think we can all agree. The world needs more of that right now, more than ever. It seems like we're facing some big stuff. So this story will kind of speak to that in some respects. And I know I'm being kind of secret squirrel, but, you know, it's hard to know how much to say right now.
So how did you get the inspiration?
Well, I kind of told you I was on my way to a yoga teacher training class, and it was a Sunday morning, and I was by myself, and I was driving, and suddenly I went through this intersection, and I was driving on Columbia Parkway, for those of you who may know the area here, and I literally had a flash of the whole story, like almost from beginning to end of what needed to happen. And I have written a lot over the years, you know, through my programs, history, paralegal, all that kind of stuff, our website, inspirational stuff, but I'd never written a novel. And I was like, what is this? But the characters were jumping out. They were talking. They were, the situations were happening, and it just keeps going. It's been going now for 5 years or so, you know, because at first I didn't know I was really writing a novel. I thought I was writing these little short stories about it, until finally I just had like 225,000 words. And Steve's like, let's see if we can do the novel. Let's put this together as a book. And then now here we are with a really cool, beautiful story. Yeah. So.
And if you know anyone who wants to make a movie of it, have them call us.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait. Like, ever since you guys told me that you were writing this book, and I always get these little nuggets. So I always look for it. I'm like, yes, I got a little bit more. So I know a little bit more about what this is about. But I can't wait. Like, as soon as it goes on sale, pre-order, whatever, I'm going to be a number one and I'm going to read it. I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you.
We're excited.
Yeah, we are excited. It's a whole new thing, a whole new venture.
Yeah.
But with this, we're working really hard to keep it in perspective that we are putting out our creative thing that not everybody's going to like. I mean, there are going to be some people mm-hmm. who are not going to like it. Okay. And that's okay, because, and this came up in your podcast with the author that we heard, the woman with the, I think it's called the Black Umbrella that you.
Yes. Joanna. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the important thing about following your passion is doing it because you're following your passion. You know, if this book sells a lot and it makes a lot of money, that's great. But I will tell you, that is not the first intent of this. It's venturing out, like putting ourselves out there. I mean, the creative process that I've been through individually writing it, and then bringing Steve in to help me tweak it and organize and all that, it's been worth its while if it never did get published. But I feel I have a contract with a certain goddess, and she and I have agreed. Yeah, she's over there in the corner. So much so that I had to have an altar with her. But I have a contract that I will put it out there, and we'll see how it goes. Now, we're already thinking that we want to write a second one. And you know what? Even if I don't want to put any you know, negativity there. And we might write the second one no matter what happens to the first one. So we'll see how it goes. But doing it from a place of being authentic with ourselves and true to ourselves, more than we need to sell this book and we need to, you know, and all of that kind of stuff, you know. So
the universe is going to take care of us. We're not worried about that.
Yeah.
Always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's exactly.
That's a tidbit on the book. Hopefully that's cool.
Guess what? It's that time again. Time to pause for a moment and listen to a special message from one of our incredible sponsors. Divinely selected places have secrets and mysteries within them that cannot be explained. Manifesting as hauntings, spectral entities, and supernatural energies, and are all found around the world in the most obscure corners. Unveil the best kept secrets of the world with Mysterious Adventures Tours. Immerse yourself in the mystical explorations of curated travel experiences, handpicked by passionate ambassadors and guides. Brace yourself for an unforgettable journey that promises to carve out memories like no other. Satisfy your wanderlust by visiting mysteriousadventurestours.com to learn more about their future tours. It's time to tour the mystery and embark on an enigmatic odyssey that will leave you spellbound. I ask this to everyone at the end of the episodes, and which you already did a really great little tidbit here. So if you can't think of anything else, that's okay. But for listeners out there who do need advice or inspiration regarding picking up a hobby, tapping into a passion project, what can you say to them to help them get them started on that path?
Don't be afraid. You know, just you start by thinking you're not doing it for anyone else but yourself. No one else has to ever see it. No one has to ever judge it. And don't even judge it yourself.
Yeah.
Just do whatever it is and let it morph into whatever beautiful flower it can be. I have a plant in my backyard. It's the most interesting thing. I don't ever remember planting it. And it is amongst a bed of irises. And the green comes up in the spring, and it lasts all summer long. And then come September, some of the greenery starts to turn brown and fall off. And then I'm left with these two or three stalks that then get these little balls at the top of them. And those balls turn into these beautiful purple flowers in late October. And it's like, who knew that those beautiful flowers would come to fruition by looking at the plant over the summertime and even into the fall? And I mean, I almost cut it down several times, not knowing exactly what it was because I didn't plant it. So don't put limitations on yourself.
Yeah.
Just as, you know, some big corporation said, just do it.
And I would add, I've said a lot of things, but one of the things I think we can do to nourish ourselves is to find like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Find a community of people who aren't necessarily doing exactly what you're doing. I mean, it might be better if they're not. So if you're a writer, maybe hang out with some artists or vocalists, you know, musicians, whatever. But people who are doing things like that, who can support you, I think having a support group like that is really important. So, you know, we have our natural support group because we're a couple, but we also have great friends who support us. And I mean, and like talking to you, Kayla, when we hang out, you know, we talk about all the cool things that we're doing. And, you know, have a variety of people that are doing different creative stuff and really ask them what they're doing, how they're doing it. Again, maybe not even in your genre of whatever you're doing, but listen to how they're doing it and how are they facing self-doubt? Because that is huge. Doubt kills your life. It wrings the life out of life. So it's like, how do we figure out how not to have self-doubt? We need encouragement. We got to build that spiritual muscle for ourselves that just says, it's okay. I'm going to trust myself. I'm going to do this. I think having the right community around us can be very helpful with that, along with lots of the other stuff that I said, is, you know, like Steve is just saying, like, just do it, you know, just try it. What's the worst thing that can happen? Because I think the worst regrets are about the things we don't do, not about the failures. I forget who exactly who it is. I think it's Martha Graham, but I think she said in a book, in a memoir, she said, if I had my life to do over again, I would allow myself to make more mistakes. And I was like, oh my God, that is so true. We're all afraid of making mistakes. What's the big deal?
And what's a mistake?
Yeah.
Because step one may look like a mistake, but it leads you to step two. It leads to step three.
Yeah. Yeah, we never know where it's going to lead us. The worst things in our life, I'm sure most of us can look back and say, God, that worst day, that worst event led to this. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't know this person. I wouldn't be who I am. But in the moment, it seems frightening. So like taking that step to go to part-time to do your work, or if you're able to just branch out and go for it totally, you know? Because the world and our life is a beautiful mystery. But somewhere along the line, most of us got programmed to try to control it, and it's impossible. Impossible. So breathe and relax and take your foot off the brake, right?
Yeah, you know, going on that, I was thinking about, and it was something in the beginning we were talking about, but this really kind of hits home. So for listeners who don't know my chart, I do have a lot of Capricorn in my chart. And so that makes me, I can tend to be an overworker. And definitely like practicality, right? Like what is practical, and like seeing the game plan, like having that plan and that structure, right? Because Saturn's all about structure. So a year ago, I was faced with three different decisions regarding my job life, because I'm living in Belgium now. And so I had three options. It was, I go solely freelance full time. I do this risk. I take this leap and I figure out how to be a freelancer in Belgium. So learning all of that stuff, like learning about my own healthcare and just like all of these things that would be a lot. And let alone I'm solely focusing on myself to bring in this income. So it's a lot of stress, right? So it was either to do that, or had two other options where it was, I can work with a company to help in finding me a 9-to-5 job, like a corporate job, giving me that steady paycheck, which there's that security, all of that. And then another route was to first start focusing on learning the language and taking intensive courses to learn Dutch, and then look for a job, kind of a thing. So I was trying to figure out what was going to be the best decision for me. And it was terrible. For like 2 months, that mind just was going, going, going. And that Capricorn was very much like, okay, but like, this is the safe route. Like, this is a safe route. Like, you know, you're going to get something this way, you know? And so that was really hammering. And then that Aquarius side was very much, oh my gosh, but I don't want to be tied down. Like, I have so many things, so many projects that I want to do and stuff. Like, there's freedom with this path. So it was like everything, all the energy in my chart was fighting with me and trying to make this really big decision. But it took me being with myself finally, it took me like 2 months to finally realize I just need to like meditate on this. So I spent time with myself and it took my partner to literally say, if you want the freedom and you want to do freelance, I support you. And if it doesn't pan out in a year, it's okay. Like, it's okay if it's not successful. We'll figure out something else and we'll help you on another path and help you get a job another way. And it was like, it just took him saying that to realize it's okay to fail. Like, it's okay for me to try something and go after it. And if I fail, it's not the end of the world. I'll just pivot and find a new path and do it. But I needed that support. So it's like, I got that support system that was encouraging me that we talked about. And it was realizing it's okay to accept failure in my life and that I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm going to be okay, you know?
Well, I mean, look at what you did. I mean, you moved from Kentucky to Belgium. And that Saturn energy inside you was like, what the are you doing? So you Absolutely. Already bucked the system there. Right?
Yeah.
So what's one more mistake?
And what I know will happen, no matter how this year turns out, as you review it, you know, like, let's just say you get to the end of the year, you're like, okay, I got to make another change. This isn't quite working out. All the contacts that you've made in this, all the things that you've done in that year, something in there will be pivotal for you.
Absolutely.
It will be. Somebody you meet, that might be how your destiny changes, your path forward changes because of something you meet or a new idea that comes your way. Who knows? But just staying alive and keep trying these different things that we want to do. Not that we think, like Steve said earlier, that we should do. Make sure you can say, I want to do it. You know? And then get the encouragement from wherever you need. And really, sometimes you got to cut off the things that aren't encouraging you. If they're a downer, yes. They're a bummer. Yeah. And that can be hard, especially if you've had friends or it's family. It's really hard. But, you know, setting boundaries of like, you know, I need to be built up. I cannot handle the negativity right now.
Yep.
They might have to go temporarily or maybe permanently. But remember, it's always you're dealing with your consciousness. So in some respects, you'll have a next life with them and you can figure that out. So just let them go. So
I learned what I needed from you now. I'm good. Moving on, you know.
Yeah. See you next time. Maybe. Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I think this has just been awesome. Like it's always just, I'm kind of tearing a little bit because I really love you both so much and I appreciate you so much. And not just with our friendship, but what you also do for the collective, for all of us, the support and the gifts that you give. It's truly beautiful and inspiring. And so thank you guys, even just in general, for doing what you do, whether it's taking 2 minutes each Tuesday with people, you know, to teach them how to be quiet with themselves or helping someone with their chart. All of that is just so important. And it's so great to have people out there, other people out there doing the same thing, you know, just helping all of us, helping each other in our own ways and our gifts and our strengths to help elevate us all. Because that's the whole thing. We are all one energy and people forget that, but we are literally all one energy.
And the more we help each other, the more we're helping ourselves.
Exactly.
And the more the collective gets stronger with love. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
Yes, indeed. Love is the glue.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yes, love is the glue. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys so much. So much love to you both. And before we do hop off, you guys, just to kind of give a little snippet, so you guys do your 2-Minute Tuesdays on your Facebook and Instagram, which the links will be in the description for this episode so people can find you guys. Okay. Which is good, but can you tell just a couple of other things that maybe projects you're coming up, any retreats that are going on that you want people to know about?
Well, we have a 9-day retreat in Ireland in May. And right now it is sold out, which is good for us, but there's always the next opportunity. We will be doing a maybe a 5 or 6 week meditation series coming up in 2024. They could be either live or Zoom, however you want to join it. We do have a meditation series that is available on our website.
Great.
And right now, that's about all we have focused on.
Yeah. We're constantly doing new retreats. Like we've done them in Hawaii before. Ireland's our focus right now. This is our second one. And if you are interested in that, let us know through our website or Facebook page or whatever, because we do a wait list. But also just check out our website, because I mean, like we're checking out the possibility of doing something in the future in Portugal, because we like to change locations. So, you know, we have things coming up, and then every other year we do a 5-day retreat in Key West, where we have this huge house and we get there for 5 days and just do yoga and meditation and basically build community to build ourselves up for whatever it is we're doing in our lives. So those are always cool too. And there's lots of information like that on the website.
And you guys are also, you're doing, I can't remember what it was, but is it like level one of astrology? Aren't you guys doing those classes coming up within the next year?
We will have one probably in 2024. That'll be on our website. It's a 6-month program, one Saturday a month for 3 hours. There's homework that you do, but especially with the, what we call it as Astrology 101, is because by the end of it, you have the tools of knowing a lot about all of the signs, all of the houses. We teach you like the real fundamentals, which you'd be surprised in that class how much you come away knowing, and can even give some people some inspiration and some tidbits when you finish that class over the 6 months. So yeah, check out our website for that.
That's a TBA right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
As far as dates go.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you again so much for doing this for me and being on here. And yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and hopefully this will hopefully connect to some people. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, yeah. Thank you so much. And we'll see everybody else next week on our next episode of Creative Junk. This podcast is brought to you by Mind Junk Creative, a creative agency that creates brands and experiences rooted in visual storytelling. By exploring your mind junk, Mind Junk Creative is able to tap in and explore all of your wild ideas that you may have viewed as throwaways and use them to create engaging stories and experiences for your brands. What's your story? Go to mindjunkcreative.com and follow them on Instagram at @itsmindjunk. Hey, a huge shout out to Rob and Steve for being the most amazing guests ever. I'm seriously pumped that they joined us and shared their mind-blowing story. Plus, I learned a ton about spiritual growth from this episode. Oh, and can we talk about their upcoming book release? I am counting down the days. Make sure to check out the links in the episode description and show notes on our website, creativejunkpodcast.com, to connect with Rob and Steve on social media and explore their website. And here's a hot tip. Don't miss their weekly meditations on Facebook and Instagram every Tuesday. Trust me, you don't want to skip on that. And keep coming back to our website for all the juicy updates from our incredible guests on Creative Junk. If you haven't subscribed yet, well, what are you waiting for? Find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any of your go-to platforms. And leave me a review and share it with your friends. Please, I'll be forever grateful. Also, if you have any thoughts on today's episode or must-hear stories, hit me up at hello@creativejunkpodcast.com. You know that I love hearing from you all. And until next time, catch you later, folks. Did you love this episode? Well, let's continue the chatter on Instagram and Facebook. We can dish about the latest interview and catch up on all things, well, creative. Plus, check out creativejunkpodcast.com for show notes and other juicy resources to satisfy your creative cravings. Don't miss out on the fun. And hey, thank you for listening.